B'reishit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz, we have creation taking place. The Targum tells us, Targum Onkelos, b'kadmin. That means B'reishit is a time factor. All the way in the beginning, God created. Okay, that's what creation should mean. The Mishnah tells us that God created with 10 utterances. We look and we only find 9 times that God says, let something be, by Yom Elokim Ihiyar, and then the Rambam tells us that no, in fact, that Bereshit is one of the, that is itself a act of creation. The Targum Yerushalmi now told us Bereshit is Bechuchma, that God creates with wisdom. What we're going to see as we move on is, especially, and I'm a little bit sorry for this, not overly sorry, but a little bit sorry for this, is what the Kabbalistic sources are going to be doing with this. But first, let's pause a little bit more about the time issue. One, the Radak in source number 9. Inenu somachin magid mereshit acharit, which we're going to come back to. We're going to come back between the beginning and the end. Upirish bitchila, right? In the very beginning, Bara Elokim. This is the very beginning of time. We'll see in a moment, and then he tells us afterwards. Acharach siper ki bitchilat briat haaretz hayta tov avohu. Not to think that tov avohu was what there was before, but that is post-creation. So therefore, again, like the Rambam, Bereshit is a moment, is some kind of creation, and let there be light is not the very beginning. The very beginning is creation, but that post-creation reality is one of tohu vavohu. The Sforno is a little bit clearer and very succinct, which is why we like it. Bereshit b'tchilat hazman, which itself is telling us something, that prior to creation, there was not time. V'hu rega rishon bilti mitchalek shelo hayazman kodem lo, which means, yes, God creates, but God transcends time. So therefore, prior to creation, there was no time. So Bereshit is this starting of time, which means, again, we have time and you have space and you have matter. So when we talked about Bereshit, you know, in the very beginning, God created Bereshit, Bara Elokim et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz. So when you have that continuation, Bereshit, Bara Elokim et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz, the very beginning, God is creating matter. But what the Sfarno is telling us, Bereshit has to deal with, it's not just matter, there's also the creation of time. And therefore, these various dimensions need to take an existence. Now, what the Sfarno told us very briefly, the Ramban is going to tell us in a great deal of explanation. The Ramban is in source number 8, and we're not going to go through the entire Ramban, but he's going to tell us, we'll use the Hebrew term, yesh me'ayin, that something is created from nothing. There was nothingness, and God creates something. We're in the middle of Atah Shema Perush HaMekra, from Ephes, from nothing. Muchletet. There was absolute nothingness. And there's no other way of describing the Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing, other than saying creation. Creation is the reality of when something emerges out of nothing. And that something was created. He's going to tell us soon, he's going to use a term which is called Hiluli. There are other more modern terms that one could use, but I'm not going to get into that as well. The Chomer Zeshakaru Hilui Nikra Beloshana Kodesh Tohu. So it's also pointing towards this idea of the creation. There is something very, he called it very dak, something which is very light. There's this beginning of creation, and that is the situation of tohu. And we're going to skip and move a little bit further within. He's going to restate this issue of the yesh me'ayin, of creation, something from nothing, and that's the various parts which are bolded along the way. But then, after telling us all about creation and about primordial matter and about how something's from nothing, he ends with the following. Aval, im tizke, if you merit it, v'tavin sod milat bereshit, and you understand the secret of bereshit. So, you know, this is the very beginning of the Ramban, and the Ramban we all know is one of our favorite commentaries, and part of what we really like about the Ramban is his perpetual teasing of us when he tells us that there's something secret over here, which then gives you the hint, but then, of course, he's somewhat coy. And by the way, if the Ramban is coy, and he is, he's especially coy towards the very beginning of his commentary, which means there could be situations that as we move on in the commentary, which means moving on in Bereshit or moving on to Shmod or Vayikra and so on, it could be that he will reveal more, but right here in the beginning of Bereshit, the Ramban will be coy. And he told us if you understood what the word Bereshit really means, then you could begin to understand this. Of course, he doesn't tell us, but he will give us some hints. Aval im tiskevet evin sod milat bereshit, v'lam alohik tim lomar elokim bara bereshit, and it didn't say, and God created in the beginning, why does it say bereshit bara elokim? Teda ki al derech ha'emet, you'll know based upon true, and for the Ramban that is Kabbalistic, ha'katuv yagid b'tachlonim v'yermoz ve'elyonim. It's talking about what's going on below, but it's really hinting about what's taking place above. Now that itself, by the way, is a great, great phrase. Maybe we'll even bold that because we like that. What he's doing is revealing what's taking place below, but it's hinting about what's taking place above. Umilat bereshit tirmoz b'chochma, and the word bereshit hints out this idea of chachma. Now all of us should have known that already. Shehi reshit harashim, the very beginning is wisdom. Now part of what. Okay, I'll read a little bit more and then we'll go backwards. Kasher Hiskarti, as I already explained, and therefore the Yerushalmi had to say with wisdom, Amila muhteret biketer bet. And the word bichachmata, it's muhteret, it's crowned with a crown of the letter bet. Now, he was actually being incredibly coy, but he's also giving us some hints. One, the obvious one that I hope you note, is he's when we talked about the keter, a crown, then where does a crown go? A crown goes on a head. Where's the head? It's in the word bereshit, which means now you look at the word bereshit again. So if you want, we could play some games for you right now, and we can make the bereshit look like that. So therefore, b'rosh, right? Bereshit. And then what he's saying is, oh, look, the word Rosh is staring at you right now. Again, if you've noticed that before, and that's why he's saying, but if you understand the secret of the word Bereshit, is that the word Berosh is right there, but it has something to do with wisdom, because where is wisdom? It is in the brain. Where is the brain? It's in the head. So therefore, Bechachmata is Bereshit, has to do with the Rosh. And of course, on top of all this is our crown, and the crown is what is on top of the head. Now, some of this may have made sense, and some of this may have not made it sense, but this idea of chachma is part of what we need to stay with and to focus on. And part of what we're going to do as we move on is to note the different types of aspects of wisdom, or I'm afraid to go any further right now, but there's wisdom and there's knowledge. There are different types of words which are going to be utilized throughout this Parsha. So essentially what he's saying, to pay attention. Now, one of the commentaries on the Ramban is the Rekanati. And he's going to explain to us a little bit more. Bereshit bar Elokim, Shemayim v'Eretz, Lefidat Chazal, Mashanira, Mechubenet, B'Sefer HaZohar. So unlike the Ramban, who never quotes the Zohar, the Rekanati is the first Sefer to quote the Zohar. And he says, Ki milat Bereshit remezit l'chochma ha'el yona. The word Reshit hints at wisdom, but God, remember, he said before, things that are taking place down below are hinting at things above. He says, "Kimilat reishit remezit lachachma el yonah hanikrit chachmat elokim." So, bereishit bara elokim. He understood what the Ramban was trying to tell us is that somehow God's wisdom is what is used to create. Now, of course, that should be quite obvious to us. V'nikrit b'sefer doda nikuda chada stima ila'a, that there's this one point which is hidden and above. He has Sfira HaShnia. This is the second Sfira. Now, those of us who are not up on our Sfirot, we will come to that in a moment. He has Sfira HaShnia HaNe'etzelet Min HaSfira HaRishona, which somehow emerges, that's my translation for now, from the first Sfira. v'nikra reshit minatam shenivra b'gzera takel, and that's part of what God has determined. Now, we need to skip a little bit and to look at our favorite chart over here, which we're going to make a little bit bigger for you so that it could be a little bit more readable. I hope that's a little bit better. So what he's saying is, and everything is in English over here, you have Chachma over here on the right side of the screen, and on top of it you have Keter. The Keter is the crown. Bereshit Bara, which is only starting by the second Sfira. So those of you who need to count, there are, well, that's part of what's going to be complicated over here. So we'll leave it for when theoretically there are 10 Sefirot, but the very top is Keter, is the crown, and then comes Chachma. And he goes, now this Chachma, Bereshit, where is Bereshit is Chachma? Chachma, but it's really the second, because there's something on top of it. What's on top of it is really Keter. Now, I hope some of that made sense to you. Even if it didn't, it's okay, because we're going to try to make some kind of sense of this as we move on. And he continues, and he says, "V'chein amar Rabbi Tanya b'sefer by here ain reshit elo chachma," which means reshit is the chachma, which his sense is what it's trying to hint at is that we may know about the beginning of bereshit, but it doesn't tell us everything, which means there are certain things which are outside of our ability to understand. If the Torah begins Bereshit Bara Elokim, Bereshit starts with wisdom, and wisdom, Chachma, and that is the second, which means there's something on top of that, beyond that, which means for us, ultimately, out of reach, out of understanding, that as smart Chachma as we may think we are, we can't necessarily get any further, but what we need to know is that there is a number two over here, which indicates is actually a number one. Now, part of what the Ramban said at the very end, when he was giving us his hints and we were just sort of reading and not sure, and he says v'hamila muchteret b'keter bet, and therefore it's going back to the bet, which is a very famous question, which is actually found very much in the Kabbalistic sources, especially the Zohar. Why does the Torah start with bet? Why doesn't the Torah start with aleph? So now you have a Kabbalistic answer to this, which is also a philosophical answer, is that we're starting at chachma with the acknowledgement that there is a crown above this greater wisdom, which crowns the wisdom, and we're only starting with number two, but we're only starting with number two of the ten sefirot, which means that's the bet. So Bereshit is pointing to this idea that there are certain things which are out of our grasp, and even if you're going to read through Parsha Bereshit and say, oh, I read Parsha Bereshit, now I know everything about creation, so the Ramban is going to say, well, no, you really don't. And the Rakanati explaining the Ramban is saying, well, not really, you don't really understand it. There are things completely outside of your grasp. And again, he's coming back to the Chochma, which is, as we now know, is a second one. And he says, Gam onkelos targam bekadmin, ramaz l'shloshim v'shtayim netivot Chochma. Now, why exactly this is connected to the 32, and what exactly are the 32 paths of wisdom? Give me a couple of minutes, but keep that number in mind. And maybe you're going to be perturbed that if wisdom is really number two in terms of this, why is it called the first? It talks about we are only able to investigate to a certain point, and you get beyond that, we can't understand. It's outside of our frame of reference and knowledge and understanding. Alkenikra reshit, afki hi shnia leminyan. It's called the beginning, even though it's ultimately the second in terms of the count. V'cheinu rabotenu b'sefer Zohar al sefirat chachma, batari hi nekuda lo itat klal. Beyond this point, we can't understand. And we will, the very end here, he quotes as well from the Zohar, Elokim da Elokim chayim, Elokim stam ramaz labina. That Elohim points towards Bina. And that's something which we're going to have to also understand as we move on. So, I hope all of that was somewhat understandable. In source number 10, another commentary who likes to explain the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bachaye, will tell us, Veda v'haven ki ilat ha'ilot l'mala min ha'keter, v'zeo mamar sefi tzira, eser sfirot b'lima, Eser v'lo tesha, eser v'lo achad esrei. There are 10 sfirot, it says, in the Sefer Yetzirah, 10 and not 9, and 10 and not 11. And by the way, you should all be saying, well, that makes sense. Pirish Eser Velotesha, Shreya Keter, Yeshel Chov Min HaKlal. Why did it have to say 10 and not 9? Because you would have said, if we start over here by Chachma, and Keter is not included, it's outside of our frame of reference, so maybe there's only 9. No. We need this acknowledgement that there's something which is beyond. Now, why say 10 and not 11? Lefisha kol sharis fratnim shechot mimeno, ki makorno ve'ashakol tuluin ba. And actually, everything he's saying is flowing out of the Keter and out of the crown. Eser v'lo achadis rei lefisha ein lechshov min haklal malamala min haketer. You can't understand what's beyond, and we'll leave it at that for now. I will point out something that we're going to have to get to. In Tehillim, when it speaks about creation, as much as we use the word bara to create, yesh me'ayin, it talks about la'oseh hashamayim, asiya, bitfuna, kilam chasto, right? With bina, with... What word do you want for bina? Well, let's use the word understanding. Look at 12, because you would not have noticed what was interesting about this before we read our first 11 sources today. This is the Gra in his commentary to Bereshit, Adaret Eliel, Bereshit Bar Elokim, et Shemayim v'et Haaretz, Ro'oi la sim lev, it's worthwhile to note, al shloshim v'shtayim harot b'parsha rishona. There's 32 elements that we need to understand. And I did not bring them all. All that I wanted to note is that if any of you think, sim lev, alamid bet, if you think that the number 32 was incidental, if you think he just happened to be, oh, I counted all the problems I have with this and the 32 things, just realize the lev and the lamid bet are not a coincidence. Those of you who may be paying attention will know that, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, that the first word in the Torah is a bet, and the last word in Devarim is a lamid. And therefore, the lamid bet, you know, acharit mereshit, when we spoke before about linking the beginning and the end, so therefore these 32 paths, which we're about to see what they are, they do link the beginning and the end. And, you know, sometimes you can get to the very end of the Torah, right? Leinei Kol Yisrael, and you go all the way back to the beginning and come to this realization that maybe we don't understand as much as we thought we understand. And when we get back to the beginning, there is this pre-beginning, which is, again, outside of our grasp. Let's try this again now. In source 13, and this is again the Gra in Sefer Devarim, Adaret Eliyahu, which I would call a more of a revealed Torah as opposed to what we're going to see in a moment. V'daki eilecha mishap sukim kolel kola eser sfirot. So over here you see the Gra is telling us about the sfirot, and we're going to skip a little bit. Gimel Rishonot, Gimel Alefin, V'chachma Ubina, Yadua Shemitpashtot, Butzina Kadisha, Besot Shacharit Mincha. The question, should I really read much more of this? But at the end he writes, Sod Elo Apsukim. And it could be that not one word of this was meaningful to us, so let's try to make it meaningful now. In Source 14 is a book which is called Sefer Mavo L'Chachmat HaKabbalah. So those of you who are thinking to yourselves, I can use an introduction to all of this, so here you go. He starts by telling us, Vayesh od dat echer, dat elyon. There's two kinds of dat. Now, let me point out another thing. And this is going to be pointed out in order that we could start to understand part of the issues at hand. One, wisdom chachma is what creates, but there's an upper wisdom which is outside of our grasp. Point number one. Point number two, that part of the problem we're going to run into sooner rather than later is a tree which is called the Eitz Hadat, which means there's something called Dat which is going to present a danger. The other word that we saw floating around over here is a word which is called Bina, and Bina means understanding. So, in case you've never heard this, never understood this, or this never made any kind of sense to you, let's go back to our chart one more time. Because what you have over here is, of course, the Keter, which is outside of our knowledge. And then let's start from, and there's right and there's left and there's center. And then again, right and left and center. And again, right and left and center. It may be significant to realize that it's generally understood, and we'll see more about this very soon, that the right represents the masculine and the left represents the feminine, and the center represents some kind of a meeting point between them. So what you have is the Chochmah, which is in spiritual terms, and not physical terms, in physical terms called masculine Chochmah, but then you have Binah, which is somehow connected to the feminine. And we'll see more about that in a moment. But then you have something which is called Dat. Now, I don't know if you can see this or not, but the Dat is a different color than all the others. Matter of fact, when we said before that there are 10, so let's count. Keter, 1, 2, 3, skip Dat for a moment, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 10 without dot. Remember it said there was 10 and not 11? Well, here's the 11th one. The 11th one is dot. But what did it just now tell you? That it's not really there. Now, if it's not really there, then of course you have a question, and that question is, so why is it there? So, and also for those of you who never understood this, think about the Hebrew for a moment. Chachma, Bina, and dot. If you put those letters next to one another, it spells out Chabad. So if you never knew where Chabad got their name from, so it's from those three letters coming together, of course, with one problem, and that is that Dat isn't there. There may be Chachma and Bina, but Dat is not there. But what is Dat? So let's just think again what we know. For Adam Yadat Chava Ishto, and the word Dat actually means this interaction between the two. So the way that Chachma connects, or for those young people, hooks up with Bina, is through Dat. That Chachma and Bina, there is this somehow moment of connection. But now again, we're going to keep in mind that there is this Eitz HaDaat, which is very dangerous, but we know nonetheless there's this Chachma and Bina, and that has to somehow be there as a connection. So maybe things are making a little bit more sense for us. Now, one of the things that we're going to learn in this Sefer Mavod L'Chachmat HaKabbalah, in Source 14, it says, Ve'im nomar achshav harayesh, Yud Aleph Sfirot. Why does he think that maybe there are 11? Well, it's going to go back to this point about what in the world you do with that. The Chaintain Tanan, therefore, it's taught Vesefi Yitzirah Mishnah Dalet, Eser Sfirot Belima. No, there's only 10. Eser Velo Tesha, 10 and not 9. Eser, right, because you do count Keter. Eser Velo Chadis, right, but there's 10 and not 11. Asher Lechain Katava Ariya Kadosh Zal, Shesfirot Dat Ein Lo Kli. That Dat doesn't have a receptacle. It doesn't have a utensil. It is a point of connection, but it is not an independent entity. It only connects Chachma and Bina. It's not independent. V'katuv ha-grazal b'perushol sefi yitzira, Mishnah Aleph, Ofen Gimel, shebivchinat ha-pnimiyut nechshav ha-keter v'lo adat. Which means he's actually saying that the keter and dat are two sides of the same coin, and there's an inner connection between the two. That keter is in terms of the essence. Uvchinat hachitzoniyut, but in terms of what's revealed, nechshav hadat v'lo haketer. That is there because we really can't understand the keter. And then he'll tell us, hanagata keter shehu rachamim gdolim einu nir'eit achshav. Keter points to the absolute compassion of God. Rak atida liot la'olam haba b'zman ha'tachlit. And it's only the future will realize this. Shul achar sheshet alafim shana, u'lachein keter nikra b'shem eheyeh. And some, by the way, won't even pronounce that word. When Moshe asks God, what is your name? Eheyeh, asher eheyeh. He goes, the eheyeh connects to the keter. Lashon atid. It's the future. It is a reality of God, by the way, before creation, before time, right? It's this concept of keter, because chachma is beginning, if any of this is making sense to you. But the Eheyeh is this thing which will one day be revealed. And for those of you who this wasn't enough and you want more Kabbalistic things, Eheyeh ba'at bash, when you reverse the value of numbers, Aleph is equal Taf, and Bet is equal to Shin, and so on. Ba'at bash na'aseh titzmatz Eheyeh b'gematria keter, which for him was a clinching point, but I'm sure for some of you was not. Ach, b'vchinat ha-hestera gadol, gam hanagat ha-keter, minaget achshav. In a secret way, keter is impacting us. Ki ha-hitnagut shel achshav, hina kanut la-atid, hachanot la-atid. What happens now is preparation for the future. V'ikar kavanat Hashem yitbarach la-atid, and God's main motivation, as it were, or intention, is to do good, to cause good. And therefore, those who understand say, no, everything that God does is for the best. But only when things are hidden. But regarding what's revealed, then Keter doesn't count. And that's where we start with Chachma, because it's hidden from us in this world. A little of it is revealed. And the way that it's revealed is in this meeting point, it's a grounding point between the two extremes, between the right and the left, or the masculine and the feminine. It's this meeting point is dat, and that is where we get a wisp of the true thing, which is called the Keter. Now, a couple of more points, and then I want to come back to earth. One, the Sefer Yetzirah, when it says there's 32 paths, it's talking, of course, if you didn't figure this out yet, about the 10 letters and about the 10 numbers and the 32, sorry, I'll try that one more time, about the 10 numbers and 22 letters of the alphabet. You put those together, and that's what the 32 are, and it says it very clear, Esroplimave, Esumbishtaim Otiyot, and so on. Eser Sfiroblima, Eser Velotesha, Eser Veloachadisrei, and you see it all over there. Haven Bechochma, and you can understand this with wisdom, Vechochma Bebina, and you Vechocham Bebina, which again points to this connection also. He goes on to, there's a, right, Sof Amok, Reshit Omek Acharit, at the beginning and the end, which of course is the Lamed and the Bed, or the Bed and the Lamed, Omek Tov, Omek Ra, which, by the way, is quite important, especially if we're back to the problem of Tov Ra. 16 we're going to skip because it was paraphrased for us before, the Gra on the Sefer Yetzirah. 17 is about the beginning and the end, the Lamed and the Bet, and it says a little bit more about it, but we've had enough about all of this. How much more should we skip? We're going to skip a lot. And now we're going to come back, as I said, I want to come back to the parasha, come back to where we're supposed to be before we got lost in the first couple of verses. So let's remind us again about what we have. We have a very beginning where God creates, and we're told, according to at least one source, B'chochmah. B'chochmah, for us now, is a lot more significant than, again, you are very clear, I hope, at this point, on how the Kabbalists make sense of this or utilize this. Bechokhmah, with wisdom. And the wisdom then somehow is going to flow and connect to all those other sfirot, including something called dat. But dat we know is dangerous. And dat doesn't really exist. And dat is only some kind of a wisp of the reality, which is the crown, which is the keter. So let's start all over again and make believe everything I said till now, I didn't say. If you can do that, you can undo what we've done. And let's start all over again. We have man created B'Tselem Elokim. And Lord knows what exactly that means. Which means man is this culmination of creation. God creates all kinds of things, and then God creates man. There's a problem with man, and the problem is that man is by himself. Which is interesting because, to a certain sense, prior to creation, God was by itself. If I can speak of prior to something which is outside of time, and now man is by itself, which perhaps on some type of existential level, there is this primordial aspect of man that reflects God in this Tzelem Elokim of being very lonely, being all by itself. However, the creation of man is a little bit more complicated than that. So I'm going to point out, as I said, a couple of things as we go on. One is, well, just one more thing about the previous, then we'll go on. In the Mishnah in Source 18, when it talks about things about creation, right? Ein Dorshin Barayot, Masa Bereshit, Masa Merkava, there's certain things. Elam Kene Yachacham, Chacham, Umevin Mida'ato. You can't teach these things to someone unless they were Chacham and had Havana and Dat. Notice, Chachma, Bina, and Dat are all right there in the Mishnah. And there are numerous cases like this. And we just never noticed it because it wasn't meaningful to us. But only then can understand creation. Now, when Vayara Elokim et ha'or ki tov. And God sees that the light is good. And that's, we're getting to the end of the first day. And the onkelos, the Targum, says, arei tav. He sees that it's good. Later on, man is going to be created, which is going to be quite complicated. Vayara Elokim et ha'adam bitzalmo, bitzelem Elokim. And what exactly, again, does that mean? Bara oto? Zachar nekeva bara otam, which is also complex. At the very end of the creation, when it says everything that God did was good, let me just go for a second down to source 26. Vayar Elokim et kol asher asa v'tov ma'od. It should have been tav, but instead the onkelos here says takin. It's complete, as it were. I don't have it here, but when the Targum says that it's not, when the Torah says it's not good for man to be himself, lo tov, then it says in the Targum lo takin, which is interesting because all the other times tov is tav, it's good. So takin seems to be much more than that. If you want, close to the word tikkun, but it means complete. There's something off, there's something missing. And therefore, Adam without Eve, there is something lo takin, there's something which is not the way that it should be. Going back for a second, in 23, ubara Hashem Elokim yat adam afram en adama, right, sorry, source 24, v'yitzmach Hashem Elokim en adama kol eitz nechmad, l'mareh v'tov l'machal, and God created all kinds of trees, you know, pleasant to look at and good to eat, v'yitz ha'chayim b'toch ha'gan, v'yitz adat tov v'ra, which, I mean, ra is there, but tov is also there, and again, we're not sure what to do, but notice what the Targum does here, Pirui Chachmin ben Tov Levish. He creates fruit that gives wisdom, Chachma, to be able to distinguish between good and bad. Okay. Now we know that it wasn't good for Adam to be by himself. And then God does something in 28. And now we're going to read this through different eyes than we would have read this if we just went straight to this in the beginning today. Because now you know more, and even though I told you to ignore everything we learned before, you can't unknow what you now know. So, by force, man is put to sleep. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed the flesh around it. And he built, God built this rib into something that he took for man, and he becomes a woman. Now, what I want you to note first is that the word vayiven is used. This is not going to be missed by Chazal. In the Midrash, in Source 29, it's going to tell us, vayiven Hashem Elokim et hatzela, Rabbi Elazar b'shem Yossi ben Zima, Amar niten ba bina, Yoter Minaish, that over here you have Bina Yetera that we call sometimes. Where in the world did that come from? From the word Vayiven, which means man was made, but a woman, there was something else. And it's understanding that the Binyan happens, is connected, Vayiven is connected to Bina, which is understanding. Those of you who feel a need to go back to our chart and say, hold it, let me take a look there. Yeah, Chachma is on the right side, and that's the very beginning of creation. And now first we have this Binyan, this Bina, which is connected to the feminine, which doesn't emerge until Eve is there. And I'll go back to the point of the Targum. The world is not takin. It's not complete. It's not the way it should be until Eve is going to come. But I want to say all this in a slightly deeper way. What exactly is Bina, or how does Bina differ from other intellectual, what's Chachma for them? The Zohar says that Chachma is koach ma, is be able to understand ma, how things work. Koach ma, how things work, is what Chachma is. What exactly is Bina for that matter? What exactly is that? But over here you have the Bina connected specifically to this woman. And we'll note something. We're again skipping a bunch of sources that bring Bina in as well. And including, by the way, we're going to skip the whole building of the Mishkan requires the Chachma and the Bina and the Dat. And we're skipping that also. But we're going to be told in 35, the end of 35, Vidnavon, what is Bina? What does it mean to have Bina? Ze hamevin davar mitoch davar, to understand something from something else. And for that matter, again, in source 36, Vidnavon davar shamevin davar mitoch davar. That's exactly what Bina is. Now, part of what's fascinating about this is the first example of davar mitoch davar is actually the Isha. You just realize the process. A rib was taken, davar mitoch davar, and from this rib, something else emerges, which means the bina of this woman, called bina yitera, is that it's with this building, but it's a manifestation of this thing which is called bina. Davar mitoch davar, so mitoch adam hayatzela, in the middle of Adam, there was a rib. Maybe we have to have ribs on the menu this Shabbos now, after all that, right? So inside of Adam there was a rib. Davar mitoch davar is where this bina emerges, and that's where Eve emerges. I'm saying in the most literal sense. If what I'm saying sounds complicated, it's not. It's really the most literal sense of davar mitoch davar. What's the first thing of davar mitoch davar? It's the Isha is mitoch davar. How is the Isha mitoch davar? Because she's taken out of the rib of Adam. Later on, the woman with bina yitera will have the ability of giving birth and be able to produce davar mitoch davar. Which means, when it says that women have bina yetera, without even beginning to understand it, what I'm doing right now is I'm taking this in such a literal fashion. I know you want me to be more Kabbalistic and you want me to be more philosophical, but we will have time for that. Right now I'm just pointing out that all of the philosophical and the Kabbalistic ideas are built upon something, no pun intended, but they're built upon this concept of bina, which has to do with binyan, but the binyan is davar mitoch davar, and I just don't want you to miss it, because it's almost too manifest and staring at us. So, if we've gotten that far, we need to also understand what exactly does it mean, this idea that women have bina yetera. So the first thing that I want to say about it is that we're going to run into sources that are going to get themselves in trouble. The reason they're going to get themselves in trouble, because at some point along the way, they're going to have a hard time justifying that a woman really has bina yetera. And leave that comment for a moment. But the first thing that I want to do, and this is the place that I think people will get into trouble, and I'll explain exactly what I mean by this, that there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah is one all of you know, whether you know it's a Mishnah or not, but it's a Mishnah. How old is a boy when he becomes bar mitzvah? And the answer is 13. And how old is a girl when she becomes bat mitzvah? And the answer is 12. And the follow-up question to all of this should be, why? Why exactly is there a difference? Now, if you wanted to, you can go along a path and talk about physical development, and you can talk about maybe even emotional development. You can talk about the beginning of secondary sexual development and so on and so forth. You can go in that direction if you want to. But at least I want you to understand that there's an issue over here that needs to be explained. And it's not the simplest point, which means it's very interesting. And it needs to be explained. I want to share with you one opinion in the Gemara, which is notably by Rav Chista. Rav Chista, by the way, had a couple of daughters, and any of you want to take it that way and understand really interesting things that he had said and taught to his daughters, and they were married to very significant people as well. But what exactly does it say over here? Amar Rav Chista, my time in the Rebbe, meaning what's the reason for all of this? Dichtiv vayivan Hashem lokim etzela milamed shenatana kadosh baruch hu bina yitera biisha yoter mibaish, that women have more bina than men do, and therefore the reason that they have more, that since they have more bina, that's the reason why the bat mitzvah is before a bar mitzvah, which means, where does the difference in age? And that's exactly what the Gemara is doing over here. I mean, that's how it starts, right? Go to the beginning. Did I read the Mishnah even? Mishnah, right? 37. Bat achad esrei shana v'yom achad. Over here it's talking about if she says a neder, when she's 11 already, you need to check if she understood what she was doing. If she's 12, then bat shteimes reishon av yom achad nidarei kayamin. When it comes to males, ben shloshes, right? Sorry for that. Ben shteimes reishon av yom achad nidarav nivdakim. Then you check if he understood. Ben shloshes reishon av yom achad nidarav kayamin. So over here, the Mishnah is teaching the differentiation between men and women, or women and men, 11 or 12, right? 11 or 12 for women starting to have a type of maturity, and men by 12 or 13. And the Gemara asks, hold it, what's going on over here? Why is there a difference? That's the whole discussion of the Gemara. It ends up saying, oh, Amar Rav Chisda, what's the going on over here? Because women have Bina Yitera. Now, I just want to be clear about something. If Rav Chisda was sitting over here, and you were to ask Rav Chisda, hold it, when you said that women have, that there is Binah Yitera, does that mean only Eve, or does that mean all women? And the answer is obvious, that he would say all women. Why? Because he's explaining a Mishnah. Why by the age of 11 you check if she understood the neder? By a man, by a male, only by 12. Why by the age of 12 the neder counts? Because she has at least what would be understood then, intellectual capacity to understand things, while the male's a little slower. Which means, do what you want, but that's what the Mishnah said. Do what you want, that's the way Rav Chisda explained the Gemara, which means as much as we would have said, oh, you know, it's really interesting that Adam was made this way and Eve was made like that, said, well, yeah, it's really interesting, but this idea that it connects to Bina, the Bina Yetera, it's there, it's staring at you. Now, what is going to be the problem that some of the commentaries are going to end up having is that there is another term which is called Dat. And when it comes to dat, then we find the Gemara saying that women have da'atan kalot. Then when it comes to dat, the dat is kal. Now, the problem then is going to be, how exactly do you negotiate these two issues? The dat which is kal, the dat which is light on the one hand, and the bina which is yitera on the other hand. Which means, what exactly is Chachma, which wasn't discussed? What exactly is Bina, and what exactly is Da? Well, we actually know what Bina is. We know that Bina is something from something. That's what we saw as a definition. What exactly is that? Well, that may be a little bit more complicated, but I want to go back to the spiritual world that we spoke about before. And one of the things that I want to just raise as a question is the fact that the woman actually ate from the Eitz Hadat Tov V'ra, and she took from the Dat, is that the reason where the Da'atan Kalat comes from? Which means I actually want to say all this in a little bit of a deeper way, but going back to the Pesukim, that when we look at what happens next, and by the way, those who are going to be troubled by this and how exactly to reconcile it will be most of the other sources which I have for you on the page, including the Maharal in source 38, including the Iyun Yaakov in 39. And by the way, he remarkably says that, yeah, women had Binabit Yitera until the curse. And once she sinned, then they no longer had it. Which means, if you're going to ask me honestly, is that a really good explanation? Of course it's not a good explanation. Because it runs right against the Gemara. It runs right against Rav Chisda. You can't say that it was only a one-time thing back in Bereshit. This is what Rav Chisda is using to explain the halacha. And even if you want to say that, okay, explain the halacha now. Explain why a woman understands more earlier. I mean, those will say that she matures earlier, but there's a peak which is earlier. I mean, you can look at the Rambam and so on. But there is still an issue. And I'm saying my issue is really much more this reconciliation between the Bina Yitera and the Dat, which is Kal. Now, as we go to source 40, which I hope you realize why we're here and why it's important, why it's significant, this is actually going back to the eating of the from the Eitz Hadat Tov V'ra. V'tomer Isha, right, the Nachash starts, and he is Arum, which is maybe really interesting for part of what's going to happen, very sly. V'tomer Isha Nachash, V'priya Eitz Hagan Nochal, V'priya Eitz Hashem B'toch Hagan, and so on. V'yom Nachash, Yinachem Adai, and then source 5, sorry, Pasuk Vav, V'tera Isha, Ki Tov Ha'Eitz L'machal, V'chitavahu Le'naim, Now, what she sees over here is actually something which is inside the tree, as it were. Actually, what I'm trying to claim is that she's actually using the Bina Yitera in order to get to this point. Because what does it say that she sees? V'nechmad ha'etz lahaskil. Meaning, where did that come from? V'nechmad ha'etz lahaskil. Now, you could tell me that's a nice way of turning the Eitz Hadat Tov V'ra, but she sees something which is positive. As far as, you know, we're concerned, there's something wrong happens. Why is something wrong? Because that's what God said. Don't eat from this tree. The way the Targum explains, Arei Tav Ilana L'Michal V'Arei Asuhu, that she understood that there were healing qualities within this, that somehow it's going to make things which are, make somebody healthier. What happens afterwards, which I don't want to spend that much time with, but according to the Radak then, what happens is, I have to point out, sometimes things are not a coincidence, at least not in my mind. But she takes it and she eats, and then she gives it to her husband, to her man. And then they eat together. She ate from it twice, which also can get to this point of a double curse, as it were. Notice something. He uses a form of the word bina. Vehevinze, understand this. He comes back again and he says, again, using the word bina over here. I have a hard time believing that that's a coincidence. I think that this idea of this Bina Yitera, which is being used or utilized or misused, as it were, which is also important, is laying beneath the surface of what the Radak is trying to tell us. The Bechor Shur says something which also I don't want to miss. She eats from it, right? She wanted... Now, this is another word, haskalah. She wanted education. And it seems, and she said, no, it seems that he's right. And they became, for lack of a better word, they became sly. Now, the reason why this word is really important is because it actually describes what the serpent was beforehand. The serpent was arum. Now, they became more serpent-like, as it were. Now, that itself is interesting, and we're not going to take it much further. What I will point out, that in the discussion whether women should study Torah, which starts with the Mishnah in Sota in Source 44, where Ben Azai says she should study because it will give schar, and on the other hand, Rabbi Lezer says, no, one should. And incidentally, even though Rabbi Lezer says no, and Ben Azai says yes, no one ever said, as far as I know, that it's prohibited. It's very interesting when people quote these things. Oh, a woman's not allowed to study. Now fill in the blank, Gemara, whatever it may be. It does not say that, as far as I recall, in any of the sources. It uses all kinds of other phrases, but it's fascinating how it kind of ignores it. Later on the Gemara, when it talks about it, and again, going back to Rabbi Lezer's opinion, and has a negative opinion, Rabbi Lezer, Makom Leid, Bito Torah, Limda Tiflut, he's teaching her whatever Tiflut means, something which has a negative connotation. Tiflut salkadaitich, is it really tiflut? Eloki ilu lamda tiflut. Amar Rabbi Abao, my time to Rabbi Lezer. Tichtiv ani chachma shachanti arma. Going back to that word, arum, arma. Kevin shenichnasa chachma ba'adam nichnasa bo armumit. That sometimes when people end up getting wisdom, they end up figuring out ways of doing things in the wrong way. Now I'm going to pause here for a moment. What I've given you here, if you're going to bother with the sources, if you need for me to send them as well, I'm happy to. 46 is the Torah Tamima, and 47 is the Torah Tamima, who's going to try to break his head and figure out how we reconcile the Nashim Da'atan Kalot versus the Bina Yitera. And the Radal as well will give answers which are not all that simple. In source number 50, which is long, the Late Tamar, it's a commentary on the Yerushalmi by Rav Yisachar Temer. And it's interesting. I'm a colleague with his granddaughter, Yael Schlossberg, Dr. Yael Schlossberg, who is an excellent teacher of Torah. He goes over here, going all the way through Chazal, Rishonim, Achronim, of all kinds of exceptional women who knew all kinds of things in Torah, knew Gemara, knew Rishonim, Achronim. I mean, he quotes one after the other over here, saying, obviously, it can't mean, really, that the Datan Kalot, it could be some, it could be most, but because it obviously can't mean that. What I want to come back to now, and just again try to make some sense of a lot of what we've been looking at. Diana asked, "Why do you know Shea twice?" Because he's saying "Vagam leBa'ala." So he understood that when she goes to her husband again, there's an eating which takes place. Is it forced or not? I don't know, but that's the way that he reads it. So let's get back to the issue over here. When we learn this whole parsha by itself without my whole introduction, and that's why very clearly in my mind there were two parts today. I could have done the whole second part without the first part. I could have done the first part without the second part. I could have tried to understand, okay, what's the implications of the sin itself that took place, but no, I wanted to do them together. What takes place below is, as the Ramban told us, go back to the Ramban, that everything taking place below is really a hint of what's taking place above. That means that this tension, as it were, between the Chachma and the Bina, this merge that needs to take place with the Dat, which is their Dat, which is there but it isn't there, which is, in a perfect world, there is a complete harmony between the two. But now you realize that in the narrative that we read, there is a problem with the Dat. There's therefore going to be a lack of harmony between Adam and Chava, that the Chachma and the Bina are somehow not going to work out together. And all these things which are taking place below are actually a reflection of things which are so much deeper, which we learned in the very beginning, are unfolding and taking place above. Which means the story of the sin of Adam and Eve and eating from the tree of knowledge can't be separated, first point, from this concept of Bina and Bina Yetera, which takes place within Eve. Now, what's the problem? The problem may be, if you'll ask me, it may be having Bina Yetera, but not having Chachma yet, which means we do understand that the Eitz HaChayim is Torah. Eitz Chayim hi lemachzikim ba. That means having Bina Yetera without having Chachma yet. So then how does the Bina Yetera work? It goes straight for the Dat, for the Haskalah. It wants to understand. It wants to see things davar mitoch davar. But nonetheless, they're still lacking the starting point about what it needs. By the way, the conclusion of all of that would actually be to what extent we actually need education for people who have Bina Yetera. Because if they're not focusing on Chachma, then what ends up taking place is this Bina Yetera lacking this. The lack then takes place with the Dat. My point of all of this is that I could have discussed Nashim Da'atan Kalat and Bina Yetera independent of what we read over here in terms of the sin, but I would have been wrong because it would have been lacking something, which means that's beneath the surface over here. And once I decided that what I want to try to understand is this concept of Bina and of Bina Yetera and some way that the woman was blessed and Adam is not complete without the woman, right? God creates both of them. God creates Adam and male and female. He created them, which means it's lo takin when he's by himself. There needs to be a completion. There really needs the completion between the Chachma and the Bina somehow need to come together and be merged, and that exactly is what the Dat is. So I'm going to now say this again. All of this I can understand in terms of just the sin. I can understand it independently of the sin, and then I can understand it as reflecting ideas which are much deeper in terms of the very act of creation itself, which is really what the Kabbalists will understand is taking place over here. And you have the 9 and the not 10, or the 10, sorry, the 10 and not the 9, and 10 and not the 11, and we don't really understand the Keter, and that's the Rosh, and there's wisdom, and there is a crown upon the wisdom, and that's divine wisdom, and we can't necessarily reach divine wisdom, but we could do pretty well without it. which means how can we do the wisdom that God shares with us? And that's from Bereshit, that's moving forward. And that's this image that all of us have learned as kids, hopefully, that the bet, you know, it's closed on three directions, but there's one direction which moves. But then that exactly what the bet is. There is wisdom which is attainable, but there is wisdom which is beyond us. The wisdom which is attainable is really going to be based upon the dot, because the dot is the connection. And that, what we saw something which is interesting, is that the dot is somehow a reflection of the keter which is beyond us, which means that point of connection, but the point of connection between male and female, or the point of connection between chachma and bina, is a point of unity and connection reflecting things which take place when what they call the Sefirot, which was one of the things which is used in order to create the world which we have it. Now, I don't know if I succeeded in completely confusing all of you. I don't know if anything I said today was of any value whatsoever. If you're going to tell me that nothing made any sense, or maybe there was a little thing here and a little thing there, or maybe you'll listen to it again and you'll convince yourself it made sense, or convince yourself it didn't make any sense whatsoever. What I'm pointing at, all of it, really came down to a line the Ramban said. If you understood, there's something which is going on over here. What takes place below reflects what takes place below, above. All that I pointed out is that the elements that he was talking about are in the next narrative. They're there staring at us, including the Bina, including the Chachma, including the Dat. And you'll say, hold it, where is the Chachma? That's exactly the point. The Chachma really should have been in terms of the Eitz HaChayim, and that's really the Chachma, which means approaching life without Chachma is going to get you into trouble, which means this interaction, which is that when there and using the Bina and looking inside when you don't have Chachma is going to be a problem, which means what takes place below is a reflection of things which are much, much deeper. To what extent any of this was meaningful, I don't know. What I told you at the very beginning is I only teach Bereshit every couple of years. It depends on what day of the week Simchat Torah is, if we have a class or not. But if it's every couple of years, then I have to give you a little bit of a taste of something which is a little bit deeper, just to whet your appetites a little bit. And I'll say it again, if nothing made any sense, then I apologize. If it made great sense, then Baruch Hashem.
No question. Unless somebody else
has. Yeah, go ahead.
But I need to. I meant to send you an email. I don't remember if it was the first days of Sukkot or if it was on Shabbat. One of the rabbis in where we're davening now quoted you.
Ah. Uh-huh.
And it just like I woke up.
Did he say?
From, yeah. I don't remember exactly because I couldn't write it down. But he quoted from. Obviously, I read your books. One of your books. It was, I think it was on something about Bereshit. I don't remember exactly, but he's talking about it and thinking, oh, I remember reading that. So,
as long as he didn't say, and I read something preposterous the other day, and
So you were in our thoughts during Sukkot.
Thank you. Anyway, I specifically spoke about women today.
Rebbe, actually, yes. one of our speakers at the Avenue and Jewish Center also quoted you.
Oh, okay.
So at least in the first two-thirds of America, you're being quoted.
There you go. There you go. I specifically spoke about women today because Gabor lost his mother. And I specifically wanted to speak about the first mother, and I wanted to speak about Bina Yetera, and I wanted to speak about the concept, which I do believe Davar Mitoch Davar points towards motherhood as well, and therefore I wanted to do something which was thematically connected and not just randomly that the shir was in her memory. So she should have an Eloi Nishmata, and I hope this was a fitting memorial for her.